Adobe to be here. My wife read an article over this last couple of days. My wife read an article, and she said, "Daniel, you've been saying this for years. You like this article. I want to share with you a tamsa, basic of the article. This is the joke portion of. They're not a joke, but it's the lighter portion. There are two topics I want to share, but I'm really introducing both topics to the guys." Levi, I want you to hear. Daniel, I want everybody to hear. Dovi, this is important. I think important. So the article spoke how people, I'm going to try to word it. I have a different wording than he worded, the author of the article. The article is somebody wrote over a shir from Reb Leichter. Reb Leichter is a Yidden Eretz Yisrael who's a very big thinker, a Baal Musar. He was the Mashkiach in Chevron for a short while. He's somebody who's an intelligent, intellectual thinker who's a Baal Musar, very, very intelligent person. He's wrote some very nice svarim. He's a clear, unique thinker. And in the article, he writes, he didn't write the article, it's written based on his stuff. And the guy writes, in our own kids, he says that you should listen to their story, not just the facts. We get lost in the scorecard, the report card, and we ignore the story. He said a case where this guy's kids had all the grades. He was the best guy in his elementary class, eighth grade. And by all the grades, he should be sent to the top yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Because he's look at his grades. He was a top kid in the class. And his grades suggested he should go to like this fiery yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He said if you're a scorecard yid and you don't know your kid's story, so then the scorecard suggests, hey, look at his grades. He belongs in yeshiva X. And he begged, it's funny, I was at a convention of people and I said, lean into your kid's story. And somebody raised their hand and they said, I don't speak Yiddish. I don't know what you mean. I don't know till today if they were joking or not. I didn't say a Yiddish word. I said, lean into your kid's story. They didn't know what lean in meant. They thought it was like a Yiddish expression. And I'll tell you what I mean. There are people that are clueless of their children's story. I'm very into yeshiva, knowing your own story. There are people that are clueless about their own story and clueless about their kids' story. There's a whole new type of psychology called narrative psychology. Now, I don't need the world of psychology. Coming from Torah Yiddishkeit basics, know your story, understand your story. I want a guy to be able to say his story. He has clear his own journey and story very clearly. With your children, if you're a scorecard type yid, so that kid, you know how many times I've been told, my kid was the best guy in yeshiva, and suddenly he's not Shomer Shabbos. You're a scorecard person. He was getting good marks on his bechina. He was a lamdin. What was going on inside? He was miserable. Forget he was miserable. Even he wasn't miserable, by the way. What he described this Rav, that a guy is doing well in eighth grade. Do you know there could be three different possibilities? Firstly, he might be very competitive, and he's a three. Threes are very competitive. And he wants to be the best guy in his class. He doesn't like learning. If you know him, he doesn't enjoy learning. If he'd be alone in the world, he wouldn't open a sefer. But he's the best guy in his class. Yeah, of course, he's competing. Now that guy, if you know him, when he goes to a top place and he can compete, he will fall like a beast. Because he doesn't enjoy learning. He's just competing. That's one guy. So if you're a scorecard yid, he has great grades, the biggest law, he's a masmid. He learns till late at night, and he's competing. Because when he learns till late at night, the Rebbe... Do you know your kid's story? See, he's the top guy in the class. That's not his story, that's a scorecard. Identify, and it's very normal. Maybe he's a good competitor, and he's doing very well. And in the class, he gets a lot of he's competing. By the way, maybe he likes attention, and he wants the Rebbe and the teachers and his friends to like him. He has esteem problems, and he's the best guy in the class, and a lot of people like him for that. So it's not competitive. He just gets positive feelings towards him. That might be true. And by the way, he might have a relationship to Torah. That might be true. There are three possibilities. The three possibilities. All my kids and every guy who's here, I want you to come to a place in your learning that you don't just, it's fine if you're learning to be a good boy. You might be here to be a good boy. You know the person who says it Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table like you're being a good boy? Does he say family? Okay. It says in the parasha, very nice, you're a good boy. And I'm proud of you for being a good boy. And then, do you know it's possible to have a relationship to Torah that you want to learn, that you're interested in what Hashem is saying, and it matters in your life? That's a relationship to Torah. It's not about being a good boy. Those people have the easiest time to learn. A guy learns, why can't it happen to me? And his chavrusa shtark. You don't have a relationship to Torah. I don't know if you care about learning. Now, don't worry. Don't panic. Don't panic. Just figure out ways to make a relationship. But actually, you know, you could go on a date and the girl wants to hear that you say a Dvar Torah. You're a frum guy. You said a Dvar Torah. And then the girl actually could want to know what the Torah says. I'm just so excited he said a Dvar Torah. He's frum. None of he actually cares what it says in the Torah. Could actually have a care and a relationship to Torah. So this Reb Leichter said, know your kid's story, your decisions will change. You might not send him to a top place, and he might be the top kid in his class, but it could be he shouldn't go to an intense place. He doesn't really like learning much. That's normal, by the way. And he's competing. I don't know if I want him to compete there, and I don't know if that's good for him. You have to figure out. Reb Leichter was begging, know your kid's story. Now, I say to everybody here, know your own story. Know your story. Understand your story. Don't just be a stats yid. Get the story yid. I want to share and I want to learn Chumash. We're not trying to be good boys. I want to lean into what Hashem is teaching us for our lives. And there's an aspect of Yiddishkeit. If you want to hear a Geshmak Advar Tyron, you're being a good boy. It's not your type so much, Hevris. I'm not so worried about this. But I ask you, I want to share with you what Hashem teaches us. Yitzias Mitzrayim, these parishes get me fired up. Because Yitzias Mitzrayim is very, very marked in Yiddishkeit. We put on tefillin, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mezuzah, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim, twice a day we say Kriyashma. Zechil Yitzias Mitzrayim, the third parish of Kriyashma. Kiddush Friday night, my favorite Kiddush. Friday night, Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. We are busy with getting out of Egypt. Gosh, for a guy who doesn't like museums, who doesn't want to talk history, who says what was Yehuda, we are awfully busy with getting out of Egypt. You guys are like fixated. If you know anything, there's something called Asperger's. Autism, somebody could be autistic. There's somebody on the spectrum. They're not autistic. Asperger's people could get married, could have children. They're not, an autistic person also can, but Asperger's is much more common. It's called on the spectrum. People on the spectrum have Asperger's tendencies, autistic tendencies. They're very nice people. They tend not to feel what others feel. There's certain symptoms they have. One of the symptoms, they can get fixated on one thing. They like trains. People like, they get like crazy. Don't worry, if you like one thing, you guys, I root for the Knicks. It's a specific, but you get fixated on a certain thing. And they focus. Trains is like a classic. You have like a 60-year-old guy and he's into trains his whole life. It's a very Asperger's type of thing. They get fixated on one thing. That's just one. So in Yiddish, we're like so fixated on you got out of Egypt. Like, oh, deal with it. Get over it. I don't know. I'm proud. No, we're busy getting out of Egypt. We like pound it. We're like fixated all day. Guys are in tefillin now. You guys, like, could you chill out with this getting out of Egypt deal? You walk in a room, getting out of Egypt, out of the room, getting out of Egypt. The mezuzah is all about Egypt. Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, at least one aspect of mezuzah. We're so busy with getting out of Egypt. Every Friday night, Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. Like, Morty, move on. Like, clearly getting out of Mitzrayim is very relevant in our lives, very practical. So I want to study something about it, but not to be a frum boy. We're not being good boys. I want to hear Hashem tells us how life works. What I'm going to share with you, Yitzias Mitzrayim is like, it's in our lives big time, and God said it should be in your life. Whoa. And Hashem, who knows me, every thought, knows his chayker, klayes, v'leis, knows my insides, my creator, says this, you should just be busy with this. The Ramban talks that was so busy with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's probably the biggest theme in Judaism, leaving Mitzrayim. Leaving Egypt, oh, you guys are busy. Goodness gracious. Move on. You know, you meet a guy who like tells you day and night about camp he went to. Like in sixth grade, he went to Camp Bonham. Enough. I'm sure Bonham was great. It's a great camp. Trust me. Wonderful. The best there. It was so cool. I don't know. Good, but could like move on. You've ever met a guy like stuck in the past and all day he talks about Waterbury? Guys are like that. Like move on already. In Eretz Yisrael, like, enough. If you talk about Waterbury one more time, I'll punch you in the nose. Move on, like live life. What are you? Waterbury, enough, Genugshine. What's wrong with you? Be present. What's happening? What's going on in your life? What's happening by you? What's present in your life? And what's present in our life is Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're like fixated on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Clearly, it's not history because God doesn't put us in the past. Yiddishkeit is the present. Yiddishkeit's about the present. It's a very present. We're not into the past. So what is going on? What is this Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're supposed to live with? So I want to share this obviously a lot, if it's and obviously many thoughts, but I'm asking you that I'm not telling you a cute vert. I'm not telling you, oh, this is so good for my Shabbos table, kids. I'm talking about it if you want to know life, and life, Yetzias Mitzrayim describes life, so it's very kedai to pay attention to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I want to share an aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim that's very perplexing. And we're not near Pesach, when Parshas Bishalach is the Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, Bishalach, it's very confusing. Study the story. We get out of Egypt, we leave Mitzrayim, and then we're in the desert, Hashem took us out, and bizarrely we left and the Egyptians are still alive and kicking. God left them alive, okay? He beat the brains out of them. They had death, but he left them alive. Okay, cool. And then we're in the desert and we're talking to each other. The Nazis are still alive. Those people that tortured us 86 years, they beat the stuffings out of us, killed our children, tortured us day and night. They got a year of crazy retribution. God pounded them, but left them alive. Okay, I hear, shrug, and we were out, we took all their money, sayonara, goodbye, good riddance, one last quick middle finger, we're gone, bye, kol tov, see you later. And we marched out, see you, goodbye and good riddance. We're in the desert, and after being in the desert, God says, I want you to go back to Mitzrayim. That's what he says in Parshas Bishalach. This is just the story. He says, I want you to turn around and head back to Egypt. Bizarre stuff. Pasuk says, God said, now don't study Chumash, he's talking to you. We're not being from now. We're not like, oh, I'm so from you. I came, wow, Sunday afternoon, I'm learning. It's the Pro Bowl. Nobody watches that anyway. Don't be so proud. So you study, your mamish, a good boy, pat. No, let's learn something. Let's find out what Hashem is saying. He's saying to you and I something. Stop, knock off the good boy stuff. He's talking to you. And God says to you and I, this is Yetzias Mitzrayim, we live with this. And God says to us, V'yedabra shal ma'ishalayim, V'yedabra b'neisov yeshuva, go back. V'yashuvu, get back to Mitzrayim. Get back to Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim. They beat us up for 86 years. We're out. None of V'yashuvu, I want you to go back. Go back to Piachiris. Piachiris was the place that it's Pisaim. Chazal tell us Piachiris. Why it's called, it's the mouth of freedom. The mouth of freedom used to be called Pisaim. Saim means the stuck. Saim means stuck. It used to be the place of stuck, and now it's the place of freedom. What is Pisaim? Does anybody know what Pisaim is? That was the place where we had torturous slave labor. We built two cities, Pisaim and Ramses. Pisaim was the place we were tortured. beaten to a pulp, a place that represented avdus, harsh slave labor, a slave. Our children were killed, our families taken advantage of, slave labor, nothing of our own, for 86 years, for decades. Pesaim. Why did it change name to Picheres? Because that represented, when you go back to visit the place where you were tortured, it represents your freedom. You look back and you feel your freedom. I'm no longer in servitude. And you come back as a free man. It's a very cool place. I walked with my wife in Geula last summer and I felt so free. Geula to me as a bacher represented insecurity. You're there on a Friday and you want to see your friends, but you don't want to see your friends. You're excited to see them, but you don't know. I was walking with my wife comfortably. It was a machaya. So it represented freedom. The place that brought out my insecurity. I know guys who come to the Waterbury Shabbos. The Shabbos could be a lot of insecurities. It's incredible, and the energy in that room on the alumni Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael is like amped up. You can cut the air with a knife. There's excitement and love in the room, and there's also insecurity in the room. My old friends, and so there's that's in there. There's a lot of emotion. There's love, excitement, geschmack to be together, and insecurity in the room. You come back in a more secure place in your life. It's very cool. You feel the love, you feel the excitement, the connection, and you celebrate your freedom from insecurity. You just feel comfortable with yourself. It's a beautiful feeling. And Pesaim was a place that represented our servitude and later on our freedom when we stopped serving. That's where I used to, and we walked in as a free man. And Pesaim, it used to be called Pesaim, the mouth of servitude, the mouth of stuck, and now it's called Picheres, the mouth of freedom. And God said, go back there. We escape. Why am I going back? That's what God commanded. Now, why did God make this command? So Hashem did it. So Paro, it's open in the Pasuk. Why? The Pasuk says, V'amar Paro l'bnei Yisrael. Paro said, even though the translation sounds like to the Jewish people, we weren't in Mitzrayim, he wasn't talking to us. So many Rishonim learn, he said, about the Jewish people. V'amar Paro l'bnei Yisrael. Paro said to us, he wasn't talking to us, he was talking about us. Nevuchim ein baretz, hey, Klal Yisrael is confused. Hey, they're coming back to Mitzrayim. Saragar Aleim Amidbar, clearly they're vulnerable in the desert. Remember, we marched out, a proud people, Mitzrayim cowered in front of us. They were like humbled. God beat the daylights out of the Mitzrayim for a year. We marched out on top of the world. We said, we didn't go like that. There were other fingers shown. And we walked out of Mitzrayim. And all the Mitzrayim stood there shaking when we left Mitzrayim. All of a sudden in the desert, we turn around and we're like a mumbling, stumbling group headed back to Egypt. Paro said, they're lost in the desert. They're vulnerable. Let's get them back. So why did God make us turn around? Presumably, you could simply settle and say God did that because he wanted to fool Paro. He wanted Paro, come get us. Paro gets us. And you know the story. They all died in the Yamsuf. We crossed, they died. If you accept that story, you're a very accepting guy. It's true, that story. You're not so deep because God's very powerful. And by the way, God could have killed the Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim a long time ago. What is he doing? What is he doing? We escape, we're done. We're done with the Egyptians. He entices them to follow us and kills them there. What's the story? Why did he tell us to go back? Why does he want them to chase us and kill them in Mitzrayim? God could have killed them. By Makas Bechayrus, the Bechayrim died. I promise everybody could have died. God's very strong. But he leaves them alive. And we have like two stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are two escapes from Egypt. There's escape number one, and the Mitzrayim are kept alive. Then we turn, go back, and we have a second, and the Mitzrayim this time follow us, and we go into the Yamsuf, and they all die. What's the second escape? God talks if you pay attention, my friends. If you want to learn Torah real, if you want to be a good boy, you all learned. You can go to the dorm now, get the end of the Pro Bowl. If you're curious and you want to study Torah and change and be impacted and connected to Hashem, let's think a little bit. Let's study Torah. What's happening? What's happening? What is he doing, Hashem? What is he about? What is he saying? Yitzias Mitzrayim, we live with this. What's being said to me? I left Mitzrayim. You heard the stories, youngsters. I heard a Rav get up at a hotel I was at. He was like confused. He said, what's the second days of Pesach? The first days is the first Yitzhak. You know we have a second days you don't do Malacha again? Why do you have that? That's weird. Sukkot has no second days. The second days of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, is a separate Chag. Pesach has two parts where it's Asa B'Malacha. Why does Pesach have two parts? It's cute. Huh? The two parts are with two Yitzias Mitzrayims. The first part is we got out, and the second part, the last day, is the Kriyas Yamsuf. Why is that divided into two? What are the two parts? So, simply, Kriyas Yamsuf, God finished the deal. But he couldn't do it right away. He wasn't, like, he was waiting, he was being cute. Why didn't he finish the deal with our first Yitzhak? What in the world is going on? But not what happened, what's happening. You'll see it's relevant to you and me, to our lives practically. We live with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. What's happening? We got out. Mitzrayim are kept alive. God says, go back, entice them. They follow us, and then he kills them. What was that? What was that game, that charade? Why do we have two stories and then we have two separate days, Pesach? What in the world is happening? Now, if you're not curious and you like cute divrei Torah, I could share you a gematria if anybody wants, and we could do a lot of fun stuff if you want. If you care to study Yitzias Mitzrayim and say, maybe if God wants us to live with Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's a very relevant message. That's what I want to talk to today, if you don't mind. I'd like to talk to guys who want to hear, who want to study Torah. What's Hashem saying to me? So the Archaim HaKadosh says as follows. He says as follows. What's the story here? What's the story? What's happening, Ariel? We get out. Daniel, what's happening? We got out of Egypt after being pulverized. Are the Mitzrayim still alive? Absolutely. Were they beaten silly? Yes. Bye. But then we leave. Goodbye, good riddance. God says, go back. We turn around because we're loyal to God and they chase us. Little trick there. They think we're stuck. God, like, wink, wink, wink. They chase us. Now we're stuck at the sea, the Mitzrayim coming, the river in front of us, and we panic. What's the second part? And then we cross, they drown. What's happened? I want to, for a second, to explain this Archaim. If you can visualize, you'll be so much better. Could you picture the emotions of us? We're out and safe of Mitzrayim. What are we feeling, Ezi? God loves us. Relief. He loves us. Relationship. God, I love you. Oh, you're into me. I'm into you. Love. I'll follow you anywhere you want, God. We're in the desert. Mun. Delightful food falling from the heavens, perfect weather conditions, not too sunny, not too cold. We're like in this bubble. It's like, wow, wow. I remember in Fort Log feeling this way. We were in a bubble. We were in the desert. The world was shaking like a leaf with COVID, and we had like sushi raining from the heavens. We just, sushi and steaks, all I saw in Fort Log. Sushi and steak and some basketball games and concerts. It was out of this world, just a bubble of love. We're in a bubble, a little like we have here in Durham. Bubble of love. Sushi, because I roll here, sushi comes out, and guys like you, and it's a little bit like piles of sushi, and guys, the guy takes like 16 pieces. And then it's like an embarrassment of riches. Chicken, whatever you want, whenever you want, how you want, beseder, another platter, more chicken, more schnitzel, tough life. The kitzer is that we're in the desert and we're with Hashem and he loves us, he hugs us, he's with us. We're going along in the desert, short while, And all of a sudden, Hashem says, turn back or towards Mitzrayim. Paray has sees we're lost because we're headed to Mitzrayim, chases us. Now he caught up, we're at the Yam, and the vaunted Egyptian army has us pinned. There's no escape. We're at the Yam, death in front of us, and Mitzrayim, death behind us. The proverbial rock in a hard place, we're done. Jewish people are like, God, I don't get you. What do you want? What do you want from me? All that for this? All that love for this? What do you want? What do you want, Hashem? I felt it. I knew it. I know it. I experienced you. I love you, Hashem. What are you doing? What are you doing? You run the world. You showed me that with the Makkos. You control the world. You do anything, and you showed you love me. What's happening? I don't get it. I don't understand you, Hashem. And I used to have doubts when I was in Egypt. But you showed me. You answered all my doubts. I have such clarity. I left with complete clarity. Trust in you, faith, reliance on you. I'm good. I'm good to go. I'm good to go. And now what? I don't get you, God. I don't. What game are you playing with me? Are you? What's wrong with you, Hashem? I just said over Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer to God. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Hashem. I don't understand you. What Hashem tell Moshe? Stop screaming. Travel forward. Matitzak Eli, what are you screaming at me? Dabrel b'nei Yisrael b'yiso, tell the Jewish people to travel forward. Huh? Travel forward is death. You walk into the Yam. And the Archayim HaKadosh says like this. Hashem, this is how, not how it worked back then. This is how it works all our life. Hashem hands us clarity of his love of us. And we serve him, and it's important to soak in that love and that connection. That's the first part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then he takes it all away, and he says, I want you to prove it. I want you to live with faith when the chips are down. Before we got out, we weren't asked to do anything. We left Mitzrayim. We were not a participant in part one of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was gifted to us. We did not do anything. He punished the Mitzrayim. There was some zechusim, there was some merits. But mostly memteshari tumah. There were reasons, there were signs. But be'ikr was Hashem. We did not actively do anything at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We definitely had good characteristics. We're good people. We come from Avraham Avinu. But ostensibly it was Hashem. We weren't asked in the first Yetzia to be participants. Hashem put us on a magic carpet ride. And it's important and it's celebrated. That's the first days of Pesach. And the first leaving represents Hashem hugging and kissing and giving to us fully. And we're just basking in his love and feeling a relationship. And then Morty takes it all away. Mitzrayim, Yam. What's our job? Live with faith. Show you trust me. Walk into the Yam. Go into the Yam. Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. Live with emunah. At that point, we walk in, the Yam splits, we walk through, the Mitzrayim are killed. Because Hashem wants our involvement. And what Hashem does, and this is true all our lives, is tremendous kindness. We all have Yetzias Mitzrayim moments. Moments of tremendous clarity and tremendous kindness. And we feel Hashem's love, we feel Hashem's presence in our life with immense clarity. Those are very important moments. Celebrate them, appreciate them. And then inevitably when he takes away the openness of it, he's saying, I want your participation, I want you to live with faith. When the chips are down, when you're not feeling it, when you're not seeing it, what is going on? Travel, go into the Yam and live with me. And we walked into the Yam, out of our minds, we're going, Hashem told us to go to Eretz Yisrael, but you're crazy, you're going to all drown.
There's just one guy, no?
He led it, we all followed. We jumped into the Yam, we jumped in, Davrel b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Go into the Yam, one person led the charge, Nachshon ben Aminadav, and we followed.
Why is it scary?
We all went in, it didn't split right away, and even if it split for some, it's very scary because waters don't stay split. and all of us walked into a yam whose nature is to kill anybody who's in there, and with tremendous faith in Hashem, we walked through the yam with faith in Hashem. And the answer that Chaim HaKadosh says is the first part of Yetzias Mitzrayim is all from Hashem. We're not involved participants. And the second part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you and I are involved with faith. When it's difficult, and it's the story of our life always. There'll always be Yetzias Mitzrayim moments, and those are important. When Hashem reveals and shows and there's clarity, those are very important to be marked and celebrated. And there'll always be the second part of Yetzias Mitzrayim when Hashem hides. And he says, I want your move when it's dark and unclear. Continue to go with me. Prove your mettle and be a part of it. The part that Mitzrayim dies is when we're involved. That's not by accident. Nothing is. The part that's a death blow to Mitzrayim is when we have to be involved and we needed faith. When it wasn't clear and it wasn't just ride and enjoy the show. When we have to be involved is when the Mitzrayim are killed, the second party, it's yes, Mitzrayim. That's when the Mitzrayim all die because we made our stance. To say it in this Nusach, when the Mitzrayim are, the first step, we're not involved. God took us out of Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayim still exists. But when we make the move, Mitzrayim represents stuck. Mitzrayim represents godlessness. And when he takes us out, Mitzrayim still exists. We're just not there. When we make a move, when we express emunah, faith, and we jumped into the yam, and now the second part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we made a move, Mitzrayim ceases to exist. It's no longer it's there, we're just not in it. We actually hurt Mitzrayim. We actually defeated forces of Egypt. That's the second part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Archaim HaKadosh explains. So when Hashem said, go back, he said, I wanted you to taste something and feel something. Now I ask you to get involved. This is literally how life works. Literally. This is not yesterday. We put on tefillin, mezuzah, kiddush, yomtiv. We do a lot because this is Shabbos. Yomtiv represents Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the story of life is Hashem. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says, Mashcheni, Hashem, please pull me close. I need to feel you, Mashcheni. I need to feel you. I need to have some sign, Mashcheni. And after you pull me, acharecha narutza, I'm going to run after you. Show me something. Show me some sign. And after you show me a sign, I am going to run after you. Even though the sign I know will go away, I know how this world works. I'll run through the yam. I'll run in the yam. I'll run after you. I'll trust you. But Mashcheni, please pull me towards you. Show me something. Show me something. Give me a start. Get me going. Show me so I have what to go on. That's the story of growth. Is Mashcheni, is the pull, the letting go, and Acharecha Narutza. I have watched guys in all different aspects of steiging. You watch anybody's path of growth is a very quick run, very fast. We left Mitzrayim b'chipazon with speed. And then we're in the desert 40 years. Everybody's growth works like that. An initial burst, kindness of Hashem, and then people figure it out. There's sometimes even a little bit of a dip, of a fall. Well, one second. Yeah, acharecha narutz, you showed me something. I felt something. I experienced something. Mashcheni, you've dragged me. You've grabbed me. You've pulled me close. Acharecha narutz, I'm going to run after you, Hashem. Through water up to my neck, I'm gonna express faith. But I beg you, Hashem, along the way, hug me again. I need another hug. Every once in a while, God, Mashcheni, please show me something. I need it. We always, all our life, it's not like it happened already. We lived as Yetzias Mitzrayim and both components. Avi, all our lives, we have both components. All our lives. We have the hug and the pull and the apparent. Hashem shows us. He winks, he hugs, he kisses. It's like, and then acharecha narutza, the times it's not so clear, but emunah, faith. The yid runs in the yam when it's not so clear. That's the story of our lives. We wrap it, we kiss it, we make kiddush, we have Shabbos, we have yantiv, we live with that. The two parts of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maish, do you hear the two parts?
Yeah.
Yitzias Mitzrayim? Two parts. These are the two. Maishi are the two parts of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Two parts of the Exodus. The part where we're just past, where we're watchers, we're observers, we're spectators to Hashem's love of us. And we just soak it up, and those are so precious and important. We're pulled, we're hugged, we're led, we're taken. And then it all seems to go away. And we freak. Ah! Matitzak Eli! We start screaming. Hashem says, Dabro bnei Yisrael v'yisov. Go further, go further. Emunah, I want your involvement. I know you could do it when it's easy. I know there are times you feel it and experience it and see it. I'm going to take it away. Acharecha narutza, God, I'll run after you. I'll follow you. Even now, I don't feel what I used to feel. Does this sound like a history lesson, my friends? There's no history. There's no history. It's just my week and your week. It's Sunday, and then we might as well talk about the coming week and last week all at once. Do you have a guitar here? Is there a guitar in the room? Could you please get a guitar? Thank you, Shlomo. Do you know this song where you describe the two Yetzias Mitzrayim? Like an English song, like a very emotional. What?
Our song is ours.
It's your song.
My song.
Gorgeous English song. Like to remind me what I felt then. Yeah. Do you want to hear this? You want to hear the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim sang by a guy in Yeshiva? Do you want to hear it?
That's code for remember the words, but
yeah. Yeah. He's going to sing. You want to hear it sung first, Maish? Maybe sometimes what I can't do in words, a guy could do in a song. He sang about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the two parts, when it's clear and when I don't remember. And trying to remember the first days, connecting the first days. You know this song of Aryeh's? Let's take out the door. You think I'm about to play Menachem?
Hopefully he doesn't take it.
What'd you say? Imagine like a shi every once in a while, you give like a strum. And he's coming, man. I'm coming.
How do we capitalize on moments?
They're important moments, stopping, feeling what we need to feel, experiencing what we need to be present to them. Be present. What were you asking, Maish?
Seems like every day
Hashem not
like giving us that extreme.
Like,
going through
society.
You know, like, that seems like a once in a lifetime, once in a.
Like,
that's how we talk about it.
Like,
it's huge.
You know, it's like a constant. When you hear this story, does this sound like an old story? Do you know when I hear it, I'm bored. I could cry if I'd be more vulnerable right now. The story sounds like so remarkable. This journey of life. Yeah, the extreme.
Right.
How it happened, if it happens. Sing us this song. Listen to this song. Levi, I want you to hear this song. This is an oldie. Daniel, check out this song because I think it describes. Daniel, check this out. Avi, listen to this song. This is the song that I think describes the two Yetzias Mitzrayim in many ways. Please listen well.
Can you scroll for me? Thank you.
This hasn't been played in a long time, as he told me. Listen to the words. Ariel, listen to the words.
You're stressful.
I can feel so crossroads again. Feels like it's my oldest friend. Seems like all the paths I take just lead me right back here. by all the things I know. And I know where I was, where I wanna be. And the only thing that can stop me now is me. So please, the next time I'm back on this road, don't let me fall, please help me stay strong. I wanna live my life with you, and I wanna do it, I know it's true. Just please help me remember when I need to. And I know that someday soon I'll be back in this place. And I'll feel trapped like I'm stuck in a maze. So the next time I fall apart, the next time I don't know where you are, don't take long to find me. Send something to remind me you're not that far. Please don't go. Can you just stay here? Thank you for holding my hand. Pistoling the gates above the river. Time I'm back on this road, don't let me fall, please help me stay strong. I wanna live my life with you, and I wanna do it, I know it's true. Just please help me remember when I need to. And I someday soon I'll be back in this place. And I'll feel trapped like I'm stuck in a maze. So the next time I fall apart, the next time I don't know where you are, don't take long to find me. Send something to remind me that I'm home, and these shows are just what I need to grow. And this rock cave is where I train my soul. The heat and our shed needs all my love. It's telling me that I'm never stuck. I'm leaving those walls behind. Talk, darling, I say right, I won't give up. I won't give up. I won't give up. I won't give up.
Okay, so my schmooze, I did not say it about a millionth as well as Arya just said it. You didn't follow the psukim, you just heard the psukim. Arya just told you the psukim, and I couldn't think of like a better pirush on the psukim. But Arya just explained that we left Mitzrayim, and Hashem said, turn around and go back now. Turn around and go back. And I want the escape this time to be from you. And I'm going to take away a lot of the clarity, and the Mitzrayim are on us. Hashem, Hashem. I thought you were taking care of Hashem, so now it's your turn. Mitzrayim are on us, and we have to jump in the yam. And there's a whole nother Yitzias Mitzrayim. another Yetzias Mitzrayim, energized and encouraged by the first Yetzias Mitzrayim, the awareness that we've gained from the first Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Binyamin and Aryeh asked, like, I want to remember that, I want to feel that, and that's the challenge in the second part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we have experienced stuff, now go with what you know. Jump in, Dabrel B'nai Yisrael V'Yisoh, let's go. It's on you now. And the second Yetzias Mitzrayim that we have such a part in, that we have a tremendous chelek in, that we jump into high and rushing waters, and we are part of the second Yetzias Mitzrayim, and in that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim die, they're finished. They're all wiped out. That's the second part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. These are the two aspects of Yetzias Mitzrayim that live with us always, then, now, and always. So thank you for that song. Thank you for the pshat and the psuk.
Why is it only when we put in our covenant that
the
Mitzrayim are destroyed and not in
the times of Hashem? Because the real Yetzia, the ultimate Yetzia, is Hashem says, I want you to be partners. Because Mitzrayim represents no relationship to Hashem. A relationship has to be from both sides. So Mitzrayim ends when it's from both sides. That's when both sides mean we have part in this relationship too. That's when that's Emunah. Ve'rastich li be'emunah. The erusin tashem, the marriage, kedushin tashem is with faith. The relationship happens when it's from both sides. Shem's always there for us. Ve'rastich, erusin, the marriage is ve'rastich li be'emunah. You're married to me when you have faith, when it comes from you also. So the first time we left is Hashem courted us. But Kedushin happens when the man and lady are both involved. So Hashem courts us. He tells us, I love you and want you. Now I want you have to do something, Emunah, faith. Ve'rastich li be'emunah. The marriage is Emunah, yes.
Is it always going to go the way that first will come the hug, then will come Hashem saying, no, have faith?
They're constant in our life, constant hugs and times. He can't ask us, have faith, if we haven't seen before. So we have to experience a tremendous form of love that says to me, I want to run after. There has to be.
I'm going to choose to jump into the water.
There has to be. I have to feel it, Hashem. We beg Hashem. We beg Hashem, Mashreini, please pull me. You can't
is
ask me.
Is it calling on the person to feel that? That's just Hashem's job. I mean,
that Binyamin and Aryeh, if we live unnoticing, one of the most important songs ever written in the yeshiva, we're a place of songs. When somebody wrote this song, Pull Me Closer, and somebody's begging Hashem, pull me closer, show me a sign. And then he comes to a yeshiva and he's loved and he says, Hashem, you've showed me a sign. That was maybe from the most important songs to me ever written. Because our job is when we experience love, to chap that Hashem sent it. When we have difficulties, we know Hashem sent it. We say, God, I don't get it. Why are you? When we have goodness, Hashem is sending the goodness. So there is some work for us to open our eyes and see it. The goodness that he's sending us, the goodness that is certainly from him. If we want to ignore that, so then we don't. That's why we have this. There's an importance to the first part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and maybe even a task. Our task is just open your eyes, feel the love. Did you ever meet somebody who just is unwilling? I remember a guy in yeshiva telling me that he has such bad mazel, and the whole place was crazy over this guy. Said, do you have the whole yeshiva is in love with you? And it took him a while to be a receptacle of love, to feel he has so much love and goodness surrounding him. So that's on him. The first part of Pesach is to be a vehicle to accept love. Whoa, Hashem, you're into it. To feel it, to experience it, to soak it in. That helps us. To the first part of Pesach, there's a task also, feel the love. Recognize, soak it in, bask in it. There's the first days of Pesach. It's not like the first days don't count. The first days are awesome. First days of Pesach is celebrating Hashem's clear displays of love. I want you. I chose you. I'm into you. And then the second days express this higher. It says you have to kriyas yamsu vayaminu b'Hashem. We believed in Hashem. Whenever you say vayaminu b'Hashem, they didn't believe earlier. The Sfas Emes asked the Kesha. They didn't believe earlier. Dam svardeya kinim aredever. We were like a little. Anybody left was doubtful. Yet after kriyas yamsof svayaminu b'Hashem. You're only a believer. The true test of believer is when it's taken away the obvious. And you're called Vayaminu Bashem after Kriyas Yamsov is the relationship was because we had displayed our emunah and lived with our emunah. The first time we knew, but it was all clarity. When he took it away and we ran with what we knew, now it's Vayaminu, a level of emunah that's when the emunah is like, the relationship just completely changed and developed.
Is that what Purim was?
I don't want to talk about Purim yet. You guys are going to start drinking. Purim something else.
I'm
talking about Pesach. Ruven Yaina like sounded the Purim bells. Dangerous. Ruven Yaina, but you know I'm against drinking.
Even on Purim?
No, Purim.
You're
going to
make up for the rest of you.
We'll talk. We have Purim fits into us. We're talking about Pesach now. What's unique about the night of Pesach? I'm asking the question every Jewish can ask. What's unique about the night of Pesach, Morty? What's unique the night of Pesach, my friends? You don't say Kriyas Shema Leil Shimurim? Good answer. What else? The vegetables, good answer. Hallel. Do you ever say Hallel at night, my friends? Ever, the whole year? What's Hallel? Clarity, open miracles. The night is the opposite of Hallel. You don't say Hallel at night. That's ludicrous. The night's not a time to say Hallel. You never all year round will ever say Hallel at night. Do you say Hallel at night on Sukkot or Shavuos? Of course not. You don't say Hallel at night. What's the only time the whole year we say Hallel at night, my friends? The Leil HaSeder. Why is there Hallel at night? Don't be shallow. The night represents we're not clear. It's not a time for Hallel. The night contradicts. Hallel is I am absolutely clear. I see you, God. Hallel is about open miracles. You don't say Hallel at night. You're a faker if you say Hallel at night. You're a fraud. The night's not Hallel. At night is I'm trying, Hashem. You're a fraud. You're a good boy if you say Hallel at night. You're being like a good boy. We're not good boys. You don't say Hallel at night. Yet the Leil HaSeder we say Hallel. That's weird. Why doesn't the kid ask that question? He asked four questions. Why doesn't he ask that question?
Didn't happen.
I'm asking you. Ruven Yaina says, Mikan Raya, not to say it in shul. That's a good Raya, very good. Do you say it in shul, Ruven Yaina? You Ashkenaz a Svar?
My relative's family does.
Why doesn't the kid ask? I never said Hallel at night before.
You don't like my shot.
That what?
He didn't do it yet.
He did it in shul.
Not everybody.
The guys who did it, so you have a raya not to do it in shul.
Kashi's found the second seder.
First seder. We said halal in shul. I say halal at night, my friends. What's the answer? There is no night on Pesach, silly. Laila kiyoyim yairu. There's no night on Pesach. There's no night. Pesach's clarity. The first days of Pesach, remember, is utter clarity. There's no doubt. God took us out. B'chatzoy salayla. There was no night. Night is this place. No night. Remember on Shabbos, you don't say goodnight, my friends? Pesach's the spitz. There's no night on Pesach. There's no night, Pesach. It's nishtana alayla mikol alaylois.
Is a piece right on the Munachovers at night.
This is one of the most embarrassing. Please don't publicly show me small print. This happens a lot. Any normal unit, Benjamin noticed. This is very hard for me. A guy watched a video of a shir and he really got like hurt. He said, "Don't get old on us, Kalish. I'm really sorry." When you show somebody print, any normal person goes, and I'm like, I apologize. I have this running thing with my wife. My wife said, "Accept your." We're young. I'm like a teenager still. My wife's like, "Accept gracefully your age," and I'm very into not refusing. My father, Kanai Nahara, plays tennis. He'll play you the toughest set of your life. I never heard him say, he's very competitive, "Oh, I'm getting old." Thank you. I just want anything that I could pull close, not pull away. At my Shabbos meal, like reading a Rashi, and I like look to see. Yeah, what happens when you fall on the ski course, guys? You have the craziest fall of your life skiing. What's the first thing? Be honest. The first thing you do, you have the craziest wipeout. You're not sure if you're alive. You're not sure if you broke any bones yet. You're really unsure. You may be concussed and have fractured bones. Chas v'shalom, might have happened. What's the first thing you do before you check how many bones you broke? 100%. You look around to see if anybody saw you fall. 1,000%. That's me. You look around. Then afterwards, I find out, am I living? What's the next problems? But the first step is, you look around. Did anybody see? Let's be honest. You know, in the Beis Medrash, you ever lie down in Beis Medrash and you have this thing that you fell? You know when you're sleeping and you think you fall and you jump up? The first thing you do is, did anybody see that? You look around and the guy next to you always makes, "Well, you didn't see that." I always know if he's looking too far the other way. Shucks, he saw. But that's to be honest, the first thing, it's embarrassing, you fell. So there's like a Rashi passed at the Shabbos, there was small print like shucks. I look at my kids, they're not looking, like, move it away. I put it down, like, quickly, they turn back. But thank you, Shlomo, for the bigger print. Thank you, Tzvi. Tzvi wrote that the Chiddush Yerim explains that truth, something that we know to be true, and Emunah refers something that we believe. Interest, very interesting, because he speaks about the Emunah of the night. Yeah. The Emunah Kol Zeis that we say by Meir, the Emunah, the Laila. The Kitzur is that Pesach night, my friends, there is no night. That's why we say Hallel at night, because it ain't a night. That's why we say Hallel at night. But when this point in how the first days work, the utter clarity, there is no night, to the second days, we don't say Hallel at night. In the second days, there's a second days, say Hallel again at night. There is our faith. There went dark. Mitzrayim, Yam, and we had faith. We had Emunah. Should I show you something cool? I should show you this. Also, I have to get to New York. I really don't have so much time. I'm going to tell you one last thought on faith. Hashem told us in Parashas Bishalach every single day to go pick up man. Every day we picked up man for our families. In Omer L'Agulgoyles, in Omer, a certain midah, a certain measurement per head in the family. We picked up a certain amount of man. If you had seven people, you picked up seven imrim of man. You were commanded to pick up man every single day. It's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us the following command. He said, "Vayomer Moshe aleihem ish al yosu menu ad boker. Nobody leave over the man till the morning." Did God tell Moshe to say that to us? It's interesting. In the Psukim before, it says, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Zeh davar shetziva Hashem. Hashem commanded, "Lichtu mimenu ish lefi achlai. Pick what you need. in Aymer per head, according to the numbers of people you have in your family. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't leave over till the morning. Did God tell us not to leave over till the morning? You weren't allowed to leave over any money. Do you know how challenging this was, my friends? You had a family of six kids. You know how much pressure a man has to feed his family? Do you know if a man doesn't make parnassa, it's depressing? It's instinctive in a man. Do you know how good I feel when I make money and I can bring a check to my wife? I feel good about it. Because a man instinctively wants to take care of his family. I love getting things for my kids. I love clothing my kids. It's instinctive. I signed a document called the Ksuba that I'm going to take care of my family. And I have good old-fashioned chivalry. I feel good taking care of my family. I feel good about it. A man was designed to support his family. He was built to take care of his family. That's why he signs a ksuba. He was built. It's a very good feeling. It's very manly. We were built to supply and take care of our family. Our wives and children's life depend on us, and we care for them physically and emotionally. It's a very good feeling. Here's a guy in the desert, has a beautiful family, and he picks mun. That's how he could take care. He goes out, puts on his dungarees, and picks up the mun. He brings home gift from Hashem. By the way, when it all finishes, what are we eating tomorrow? Oh, Hashem will make a miracle again. Maybe he won't. Maybe we won't deserve it tomorrow. Maybe we'll be punished. Every instinct is to leave over some mun. To say, I'll save my own portion, my friends. I'll eat half of it just so my family won't starve tomorrow. Do you know what it means to deplete your bank account? You have nothing left. Avrami Gartenhaus is named after the Kapitschnitzer Rebbe. Kapitschnitzer Rebbe, Avrami bears his name, it's his great grandfather. Rav Aaron Cutler said about him that he was the greatest in chesed in the generation. Rav Aaron Cutler wasn't given to hyperbole, to exaggeration. He said he was the kindest person in the world, in the generation. The Kapitschnitzer Rebbe at times said, there's money in my bank account and that people have needs. I don't want a penny. Emptied his bank account. You know what it means to have $0 and 0 cents? There were times before Kiddush on Friday. Shabbos was coming. He said, why would I have money in the account and another yid's hungry? End my bank account. Give it to Anim. He went into Shabbos, no dollars, no cents, and some Ani had money in his bank account. Do you know what that means? You have a family and you don't have a bank account, and what am we eating? What am I eating tomorrow? I'll survive. I'll go. What am I giving to my wife? What am I giving to my children? And Moshe Rabbeinu commands us, Al yais mimenu ad baiki, you're not allowed to leave over mun till the morning. You know what that means? Yeah, it's going to have mun tomorrow, I hope. I think. Who did God tell us this, Daniel? Al yais mimenu ad baiki. Moshe doesn't even quote Hashem. The Archaim HaKadosh talks about this. If God gave the tzivui, it doesn't say God gave the tzivui. And it's interesting. It says that Dasan Vaviram Belay Shamuel Moshe didn't listen to Moshe. Vayasira Nashmer Baiker, they left until the morning. Why does it say they didn't listen to Moshe? Duh! Moshe says, don't leave to the morning. And they left to the morning. Why is that? They didn't listen to Moshe. We're all very smart. If Moshe, read the Psukim. Vayayme Moshe Aleim. Ishal Yaisman Rabbeinu, don't leave till the morning. V'lo yishamu el Moshe, and listen to Moshe, v'yasira anashim el Baker, and they did leave till the morning. So why does it say they didn't listen to Moshe? Just say they left to the morning, and obviously they didn't listen to Moshe. The Torah, like for those who aren't, don't chap, that's called not listening. Why does it record they didn't listen? The Archaim HaKadosh explains that they weren't defying Hashem. They didn't think Moshe was right. Now why did Moshe say, don't leave it over till the morning? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, don't leave it till the morning? Why did he say that? I wonder if he deduced it from God's word. I suspect, and want to say a pshat, that Moshe Rabbeinu was making a harchaka. The Rabbanan have a chiv, asu siyag l'tayra. We had a chiv to pick mun every day. If we leave over, a yid's not going to pick mun every day. There was a chiyuv to pick mun every day. If a yid left over, he'll say, I don't need today. I'm not going to go out. Why would I go out today? I have my fridge full of some mun of yesterday. I don't know. I don't know. Somehow Moshe Rabbeinu deduced it from God. I don't know if it was a harchaka, asu siyag l'teira. If God said every day you have a tzuva to pick, so then harchakas don't have man left over. This way you have no choice but to pick. Or if he saw that's what Hashem wanted in his words. The Archaim sounds like he deduced it. What?
Wouldn't it spoil? So obviously Hashem didn't want you to leave before it was just
going to
spoil.
Ooh, you just mechavim to the next word. So listen to this. I'll tell you what Ezi just said. Bottom line is they don't listen to Moshe. That's what it means. They didn't listen to Moshe. They weren't defying Hashem. They weren't stupid. They were starting up with Moshe. We don't like what you said, Moshe. There was like a machlokes in the Beis Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't leave over. They didn't listen to Moshe. And they left. They weren't denying Hashem. They were defying Moshe. The next, what happens? They don't listen to Moshe. And what happens? They leave over mon and it all gets spoiled. What does it say? Vayiksef aleya Moshe. Moshe gets mad. Why did he get mad? Because they defied him. So then I have a kasha. Why does it say it got spoiled? It should say they left it over and Moshe gets mad. It's not what it says. They left over mon. What happened the next morning? It all was rotted and disgusting and unedible. Moshe gets mad. Why does it say what happened to the man? That's not why he was mad, Daniel.
Yeah, he was.
He was mad they left over. The Pashtus, they defied him and left over man. So it should say they left over, Moshe got mad. And by the way, the man they left over spoiled, but it doesn't say. So they left over, the man got spoiled, Moshe got mad. He got mad because it spoiled, or he got mad because they left over, Ezi? They left over, so why is the Torah word that they left over, it got spoiled, Moshe got mad? Say they left over, Moshe got mad. And by the way, the man got spoiled. He got mad because they left over, not because it got spoiled. We're led to believe that he got mad at them because it got spoiled. That's part of the problem, what they did. Yeah. Because think about before Dasan Vaviram, millions of Yidden every single night live with emunah and did what? If you had leftover man, you either could you have burnt it? I think you're allowed to burn it. What happened if you had some leftover mun? You could either share it with each other or burn it. L'char, you can give it to your neighbor, your friend, to eat, I think. Maybe you have to, if there was leftover. Right, but let's say the amount, an Eimer Lagagaylis, even if you took more, it ended up being an Eimer. What do you do with the Eimer if you had leftovers? I don't know if you're allowed to give it to another family member, and if you have to, Al Yaisman a bike, maybe you can burn it. You can't leave it over. So, for years, because God's, since Moshe said so. Now, why he wanted, Moshe said no leaving over. Now, what he want, faith. That act of burning it is counterintuitive. You have nothing left. You're empty. You're being like the Kapichnitzer. You're emptying your bank account. What am I doing tomorrow? Faith. So every yid got an opportunity to express faith. What happened when Dasan Vaviram left over? What happened to the man? It all got disgusting. What happened the next night? There was no more ability to express faith. Because there was no point to leave it over. So Moshe was upset. You robbed our experience of faith. Before you guys, it didn't help what you did. But before what you did, we all got the opportunity to express faith in God. It might help if I leave it over. I'm burning it. I'm trusting Hashem. And we got that. By Yitzhak Aleya Moshe, Moshe was upset at the lost opportunity of expressing faith. There's the opposite of that we tend to think, my friends. We say, oh, Hashem, what are you doing to me? You're making all these challenges. After it's spoiled, there were no more challenges. Gishmak, what's the point? Like as he said, hey, it's easy now. You just eat the man. It doesn't help to leave it over. We lost that opportunity to have that level of faith. Moshe was very upset at them.
That's why Moshe commanded them not to leave it over in the first place?
No, I don't want to say that. No, because that either he was deducing from Hashem's words. I don't think so. But he was maybe did Moshe know this? Did Moshe have some like prophecy? I don't know. That's interesting theory, Daniel. It's unclear to me where Moshe knew not to leave it over. But he got upset when they did it and it rotted. He's like, shh. By Yixvalei Moshe, you took away the opportunity of faith now. It's amazing to view opportunities of difficulty of burning the mun, that a yid lives like that, and to view an opportunity to express, I want to show Hashem, I follow you and I have faith. That's the story of the desert. It's the story of the second part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's so cool how the mun worked. We get mun, is Hashem is the story of all of our life. Mashcheni, here's mun. Ha, you love me, Hashem. I feel it. I experience it. That night, burn the leftover mun. Al yasir menu ad boiker. Burn it. And the yid burnt the mun, or ate the mun, and got rid of it. It's like, faith. And the next day, what happened? The mun fell. Then that night, burn it, the leftover. The night, this clarity. Burn the leftover mun. You know how hard that was to empty? Yeah, every year, to be the Kapitschitz Rebbe, you emptied your bank. You know how hard it is to empty your bank account? What am I doing tomorrow? Faith. Amazing experience in the desert. And Dasam Vaviram, they actually did damage to that experience. They left it to the morning. It all got rotted. And the Yid had no choice. It took away the opportunity of the displaying the faith at night. Cool. Okay, there's more to learn. Parshas B'Shalach, this is one parsha that we don't really go on from, because you're going to put on tefillin tomorrow and next month and in a few months. So you're not really leaving this parsha, but for now, let's daven Mincha, Rabbi.